Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you, Kim and the band. Yes, 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 for that very great, inspiring theme song, Clouds of Abundance. It is another day in paradise here in Phoenix, Arizona. Welcome all into our Paradise One studio, where every day is a holiday and a party never stops. Yay!
Yay!
All righty, I am Nazim Rashid, author of Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self, with our program based on this book today. All right, we always start with opening prayer. Like I have mentioned before on this program, whatever name or reference fits your belief system will do just fine. What I am mentioning, God. Just know that we did not create ourselves. And in knowing this reality, we can give attention and honor the source of our creation for guidance and direction. I am using God as an universal theme and is not relegated to any particular religion or belief system. With the name of God, we thank you for another opportunity to live life to the fullest. Thank you for your blessings that we are enjoying presently and for the blessings that is promised to us that we have yet to experience. Thank you for the clouds of abundance that you have manifested to follow us and rain blessings upon us. Thank you for planting within us everything we need for the complete fulfillment of our lives. Amen. All right, now for our show notes, we have Dorothy. Take it away.
How would you rate your life right now? One where you are surrounded by well-meaning people who genuinely love you? One where you see good everywhere you turn. One where you feel the divine presence of God within. One where you can see God working in you and through you as you pursue your dreams. One where laughter and compassion fill your everyday experiences. A life that draws in other spiritually minded souls, celebrating the joy of co-creation. A life that emanates exclusively health and life promotion. A life that is God-centered. A life that demonstrates an understanding of universal laws, such as the law of attraction and the law of circulation. A life that celebrates the good in everything seen and unseen. A life witnessing the glass is always not only half full, but constantly rising. We all have experienced disappointments in our past, and some of us have not reconciled those issues. In order for us to travel wonderfully on our healthy path of life, we have to release all unnecessary baggage that is preventing us from going full speed ahead. Let us hear from you as we learn together how learning the needs of our child self, forgiveness, validation, self-esteem, visualization, self-image, communication and listening skills, optimism, gratitude, faith, spirituality, codependency and addictions, recovery issues, identifying and managing emotions can really make a substantial difference in our lives. You can connect with Nazim at nrbookclub@cox.net. That's N as in Nazim, R as in Rashid, book club, nrbookclub@cox.net. Nazim sends out blogs and book excerpts every month from fans who connect with him on that email address. Book-related information such as book signing dates, webinars, and workshops are sent from there as well. The book Reconnected will be released and available by the spring of this year, 2011. Nazim?
Well, okay. Sounds wonderful. All right. Well, this is the Reconnected Show, the key to personal power. This is a personal growth program designed with your inner peace in mind. The discussions will be based on my book, Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self. This book contains a methodology for filling the many emotional voids experienced in childhood. Reconnected is for those adults who want to create real internal change in their lives by addressing significant emotional events in their past which are affecting them presently. It is also for parents who want vital information in raising their genius young souls, mentors who can appreciate additional tools for the mentees, and teachers who would cherish more methods for shaping, motivating, and inspiring our students, reflecting the greatness that they already possess within. All right, now you know you regulars, we always do a happy news segment. We want to always, always, always promote the good that's happening here and abroad. There's good happening all the time, all the time. And with that, we have at our international and national news desk, Dorothy again. Take it away.
Good morning. Okay. Today we're going to talk about the homeless man who lands the radio spot. Golden voiced homeless man.
Oh, yeah.
Lands radio spot. An internet video of a homeless man showing off his self-described God-given gift of a great voice has landed him a spot on a local radio show. A reporter from the Columbus Dispatch came across Ted Williams while Williams was panhandling near Interstate 71 recently. Williams was carrying a sign explaining he was a former radio announcer who had fallen on hard times. Any help would be gratefully appreciated, the sign said. A roadside interview on YouTube demonstrates the homeless man isn't exaggerating. He's as smooth as any announcer heard on radio or television. The popularity of the voice video has soared on the internet, spawning coverage in the New York Daily Post and CBS News. Williams said he grew up in Brooklyn, New York, and at 14 took a field trip to a radio station. While there, he was struck that one of the online on-air announcers looked nothing like how he sounded. Radio is a theater of the mind, the worker said. Williams was hooked. He said it took years to develop his voice and also went to school for it. Alcohol and drugs and few other things became my life, he said. But since has been 2 years clean. Now he will get another chance to unleash his voice on radio again, mm-hmm. and possibly even something more promising. A morning radio show in Columbus called Dave and Jimmy plans to interview the homeless man with the awesome voice in studio on Wednesday, CBS reported. We're going to find some way to help this guy, Dave and Jimmy said on their Facebook page. Ted Williams, there are several parts to this article, but we only chose a few, and I'm sure a lot of you have already seen him on TV. Anyway, Ted Williams is reunited with his 90-year-old mother. Ted Williams, the homeless man with the golden voice, was reunited with his 90-year-old mother, Julia Williams, on Thursday in New York. After he spoke of her tearfully on the Today Show. crying, "Mommy, Mommy," according to the Columbus Dispatch, Williams ran to his mother across a conference room in Manhattan. She embraced him after declaring that her prodigal son had returned. They hadn't seen each other in almost 20 years. A reunion anticipated to happen at LaGuardia Airport. Julia was escorted there by the early show host Chris Gregg to meet her son as he got off the plane from Ohio. It was delayed when Ted was whisked away by another news crew, CBS News said. "God has answered my prayer," Julia said on the early show, acknowledging that it hurt to miss her son at the airport. "I prayed that I would live to see this time when he would do well." Her son was being interviewed by Matt Lauer and Meredith Vieira at almost the same time on Today. Julia Williams, incidentally, has quite a lovely voice herself. Nazim?
Well, okay. That is such an inspiring story. I saw a lot of that. I also saw his time on the Dr. Phil show. And right now we're told he's in rehab because he did relapse a little bit. He's trying his best, but he has that addiction. And anybody that understands addictions knows that it's a real monster. And so he's getting help he needs to have now. Matter of fact, he was drinking sometime right before the Dr. Phil show and had a small altercation with his daughter there. But I'm telling you, he wants to do right, and he's admitted and submitting to the process of detoxing and going through a 12-step program. So he's on a good path. And speaking of addictions, later on we're going to talk about that on this Reconnected show. I'll have a chapter called 12 Principles of Recovery and Codependency. So we're going to talk about that in depth and have some real good substance abuse counselors on the air, and we're going to have a nice dialogue about addictions and codependency, because a lot of us have that X factor of addiction and don't know anything about that. And it doesn't necessarily mean it's drugs and alcohol. It could be aggressive behavior, domestic violence. It could be this kind of thing. It could be overeating, you see. And so anytime we're in a position of being an enabler, we're like a welcome mat for someone or punching bag for someone, or we feel we need to abuse someone, we have a real problem with addiction somewhere there. So we're going to address that and make sure we understand what we need to have in order to have our true selves, which is our God self inside, our true selves be our dominant self that we actually operate and live from. Yeah. So, all right. Now, today's show, Self-Image Part 3. Inspirational speaker, and I'm going to do a recap of last week. We always do that to make sure everybody understands what we talked about last week, and so that will hopefully inspire you to go back and hear the whole show. Inspirational speaker, channel, and spiritual healer Barbara Reynolds was our guest last week. She said that through the different forms of meditation, we can find our true selves, which gives us a fresh new image to admire, respect, and hold as our new standard in which we will now live from. She mentioned meditating when you are in your garden, singing, or dancing. Meditation in this form means to connect to the joy within, that special happiness. She says to go there and allow the joy, allow the happiness to flow. Love yourself and recognize the value you have. You cannot have a high self-image without loving yourself. Find something about yourself that you absolutely adore and expand that love. When you do that, you will find loving yourself to be easier and easier. That love will expand along with your perspective of yourself. Her advice to parents was to help their children develop their love of themselves. Right, great advice. Parents should spend focused time letting their children tell them what feels good to them and what they should be doing with them. Mm-hmm. It is all about being child-centered and not parent-centered. What the child wants that makes them feel good is what the parent should be doing. This is how their special time is spent, doing what feels good to the child. A suggestion box made by the child is another good way for the parent to know what their child is thinking about and what activities make their child feel great with the parent. Barbara suggested doing mirror work. I love mirror work. Doing mirror work to start the process of feeling better about yourself. You can't have a raised self-image if you don't feel good about yourself. Just telling your mirror image that you love you makes a tremendous difference sometimes. The reason some people cannot tell themselves that they love themselves is because they were never taught to value themselves. Her website is www.divinelyguidedhealing.com. Divinelyhealing.com. Her contact number, 405-261-9612. She has her own blog talk program. After you put in blogtalkradio.com/Barbara11121. Again, her show is Barbara, like it sounds, B-A-R-B-A-R-A, Barbara 11121. She also has a free ebook on how to love yourself from her website. Now, in case you missed what I'm saying, you can go on my site, the blogtalkradio.com/reconnected, and go to the comments. She has a comment there under the show, which was January 8th. And she has a comment there, and she has her contact information there. Okay? Wonderful. All right. Now we have, this week we have motivational messenger and life coach LaShawn McCrary as our special guest. In addition to exciting and motivating people, she's effective at getting to the root of problems and empowering people to take action. Her goal is to help others release their greatness, achieve exceptional results, and live their best life. Regarding the theme of self-image, she says, quote, "A person's self-image is established in one of two ways, intentionally by the individual or reluctantly by others. Deep within all of us, there's a source of power that's beyond imagination. This power, our spirits, give us the ability to design and manifest our destinies. We are what we permit. Greatness is released with our permission. Unfortunately, so is mediocrity. The choice is up to us." Now, without any further ado, we have LaShawn. LaShawn, are you on there?
Yes, I am.
Fantastic. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. It's so good to have you on the show, and so good that we're having another chance to share exciting energy work and exciting spirituality with people to help them see the greatness within themselves. So tell us, who is LaShawn McCrary?
Who is LaShawn McCrary? Well, I am a person who has a love and a passion for people, empowering them, motivating them to live their best life, teaching them how to become intentional first and foremost, and how to become whole so that they can live their life intentionally and actually achieve, you know, all of their goals in life. I don't believe that we were sent here just to achieve a few things, but there are many different things that God wants us to accomplish while we're here on this earth. And while we're here, I believe that we need to, you know, get through as many of those goals as possible. And it is possible, but we have to have the self-image, going to today's title, in order for us to make sure that we carry out those assignments.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm told you have your own Blog Talk program. Tell us about that.
Intentional Life is a show that I started back in June of 2009. And it really is my little baby. I love doing that show. And originally, I was doing the show myself. So I would just go on and I'd have a topic and I would host the show all by myself. And then once January of 2010 came around, it was time to make some adjustments. And so then every other week, I would have a guest that I would have come on the show. And the whole purpose of that was to use other people's voices, because there are so many inspirational speakers and motivational speakers and, you know, any type of speaker that's going to, you know, really charge you up and get you to think and live a better life. There are so many of them out there, and each one is special in their unique delivery and what they're saying, their presentation. And so I wanted to make sure that those voices were being heard as well. So setting it up as a platform
to not only help them and push their products, but so that they can deposit whatever it is in them into my audience.
Aha. Uh-huh. I love it. I love it. I'm laughing because it's the same path that I'm on in that regard. It's great. Fantastic. And also, now tell me, what are you doing with your audience? I know you lay out your objectives, show objectives. But I know you also have some kind of workshops and seminars. And what is your objective there? Is it different or is it the same?
It is pretty much the same. For my workshops and even my wholeness coaching is, again, about getting people to live their best lives. And so when I take people through what I call the seven dimensions of wholeness, now many people are familiar with the seven dimensions of wellness, but I'm taking it a little bit further because it's about a little more than just nutrition and just exercise and just going to take some yoga classes and meditating. Because at the end of the day, you can have a great workout, you can be eating balanced meals, and your marriage is on the rocks.
Uh-oh.
And so I work to help people blend their lives because you need to have a spiritual relationship. You need to make sure that you're physically taking care of your body, that your emotions are intact, that your intellect, that your mind is open to receive new ideas, that you're also taking care of and trying to preserve the environment. You know, so all of these things, and when we blend them all together, that's how we become whole. But there are many people that usually there's at least one area and those seven dimensions of wholeness that they're missing. And some people, two or three. Some people may be out of whack in all seven. And it doesn't matter because my foundation is meeting people where they are. That's what I believe in, meeting people where you are. I don't want you to fake anything. I don't want you to tell me about just where you want to be, but we need to start with where you are right now. And when we establish that foundation, then we can move on and say, okay, where is it that you would like to be? What is it that's missing in your life? Where do you feel that you are broken? And then we can begin to deal with those areas. And so once we begin to develop them in those areas, we'll see where it will improve the other areas of our lives as well.
Now, I see a very good segue into self-image here because the self-image is actually applicable in all those areas, your self-image and spirituality, self-image and their physical look when they look in the mirror, self-image and how they are emotionally. So I see it being across the board very important in your kind of work. So tell me more about how it is applied. Well, I kind of did a little bit myself, but tell me more about self-image and what you tell your clientele about the area, because you know they need to have that in order. So a lot of folks know nothing about that. You know, they see themselves as being poor, fat, lonely, in poor marriages, bad job, poor neighborhood, and that's the self-image they're projecting on themselves. So tell me, how do you get people to see themselves differently since they say they want differently?
Well, it starts off with amazingly enough, finding out what is it that's going on with you right now and how do you feel about it? Because there are some people that have bought into the, my life is just okay, it's just mediocre, and they just leave it there. And they're okay with that. So for some people, it's actually them getting their eyes open to see there is more to life. And maybe, just maybe there's a possibility that I could go after more. And so once their mind is open to that, then there's a lot of questions. You know, why do you feel the way that you feel about yourself? And is that truly how you feel? You know, let's say, for example, if there's somebody who has a problem with their facial appearance. Let's say they think that their nose is too big. Well, where did that come from? Did you always think that your nose was too big, or did someone tell you that your nose was too big? And now when you look at yourself, you see your nose, and you think that it's too big. Because a lot of times what's happened, and even when, you know, the self-image statement that I gave about, you know, when we develop it, it comes from either us, you know, doing it intentionally, or we do it reluctantly behind others. And that reluctant, when you think of the word reluctant, that signifies a struggle because we really don't want to feel bad about ourselves. We don't want to feel negative about ourselves, but somewhere along the line, we gave up the fight and the struggle. So we said, okay, and we gave other people permission to say whatever they wanted to say, and they said it, and then we internalized what they said. See, people can say things about us that are bad or negative, and that's fine until we internalize it. But actually take that back. It's not that it's okay. We shouldn't accept it, but it's when we internalize it that it becomes a problem. Right now, someone can come up to me. They can call me the B word. They can call me a lot of names that are derogatory towards women, and I am going to stop them and let them know that that's not acceptable. But I'm not going to cry. I'm not going to fly off the handle. Why? Because I know that doesn't represent me. Mm-hmm. I know who I am, and I do not give that control or that power to another person. And many people don't realize that's what they're doing. When someone says something about you, let's talk, for example, the N-word. And when people relate to black people in that fashion, you know, many different feelings, many different thoughts on that. And how I feel about it personally is, again, I know who I am as a person. So if there was somebody that was a racist who said that to me, they would be very disappointed because I would probably fall out laughing. Because I don't receive that. I do not accept that at all. So if it makes you feel good to think about me in that way, okay, have at it. But if you're hoping that you were going to ruin my day, that you were going to upset me, that you were going to change something in my life, not going to happen. Why? Because I won't permit it. And that's what happens. So, you know, and when people say things about us that go against what we believe about ourselves, we need to just make sure that we hold our ground, that you continually go back and reaffirm yourself and what you believe about yourself. And that's how you stay strong.
Now, I love the idea when you're talking about a different levels or areas of someone's life there. You mentioned, was it five or seven? I'm sorry, was it five or seven?
The seven.
Seven. Okay, can you mention them again?
Yes. There is the physical aspect of it. There is the spiritual. There's social. There's intellectual. There's emotional. And I'm forgetting one or two that was five. There's also environmental.
Okay, let's pick you know, social. Okay, let's pick that one right there. All right.
Okay.
And so let's talk about in the social area. How can one's self-image help or hurt them in that area?
Well, when we talk about social, basically what that is it's your ability to acquire and maintain healthy relationships. So when you build a relationship, when you meet a new person and deciding what type of person are they going to be in my life, is this just an associate? Someone that I'm going to do business with? Is this someone that I'm going to be more friendly with and possibly invite them to my home? What level is this person going to play in my life? And you don't necessarily need to make that decision immediately once you meet that person, but it is something to think about. Because a lot of times what people do is we'll bring people into our lives for the wrong reason. It may be a season for them to be in your life, but if that's supposed to be a person, let's say, for example, males and females, and if you're meeting this person and that person is only supposed to be in your life so that you can connect with them and so that they can help you grow in a particular area, but then you start dating that person, it's a possibility that that can hurt that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to just be careful about really looking around us and figuring out, why is this person in my life? Now, once we do have certain people in our lives, our spouses, our friends, our children, whoever the person may happen to be, it's about maintaining that relationship because we get it, and a lot of them we get them simply by blood. You know, we
didn't
get a chance to pick our brothers and sisters and all the other family members. But now, don't even start. But now that these people are there, it's about maintaining balance. And one of the things that I've found with people is making sure that we're not trying to change people. Because a lot of times we'll say, well, if you wouldn't do this and if you would do that, we would get along.
Right.
But there's something that's called the art of allowing. And what we have to do is allow people to just be themselves. And it doesn't mean that they're going to be the best person, but guess what? You're not perfect either. And so we're going to accept people, and if there's something about them that maybe we dislike, then we can always pray for that person. And we can always look inside ourselves and say, why is it that that particular behavior of my mother's, why is it that that bothers me? And is it something that maybe I need to bring to her attention, that we need to sit down and talk about it? And so when we take things from that perspective, now we place ourselves in the position to maintain that relationship. Because a lot of times what will happen is two people will dislike something about it, and they'll fight and they'll argue instead of setting down and in a very reasonable tone of voice discussing what it is that they dislike about one another or whatever the issue may be.
Mm-hmm. Now, also right there, now I heard something there talking about relationships there. And so to me, if a person has their self-image intact, if they're going to meet someone as for business purposes, their self-image is one of a business encounter. That's it right there. And so it seems to me that if you're talking to someone in that particular area, they have to be real clear. What is your self-image in this area here? Okay, how do you see yourself in this position? If they say it's a business counter, I see myself dressing in a business-like fashion. I'm going to this coffee shop here. I'm going to meet this person here for this purpose here, and this is how it's going to be. Then that's what they hold to. That's what they hold to, and not be swayed. And so it's real important that if you don't talk about what you see yourself as being, what your self-image is in that position, they can vacillate, they can change, their emotions will come in, other genders will come in, so forth. And say if it was a relationship, they might, like the smell of the person or like the look or like the smile. Now it's on a personal basis and their whole body language changes and all that and so forth, and they're not thinking straight. And so see me that the self-image has to be pretty, pretty clear. How do you see yourself in this position? What is it there? And is that intact? So that's why it's very important. Self-image in all those areas you mentioned is very, very key and crucial and needs to be mentioned to them so they'll stay there. Don't you agree there?
Yes. It's all about an individual knowing who they are.
Mm-hmm.
When you have a firm foundation on who you are, it makes it very difficult for anyone else to come in and tamper with that.
Okay.
One of my favorite quotes is by Eleanor Roosevelt, and what she said is, "No one can make me feel inferior without my consent."
All right.
And so that throws in there that extra mindset of it's on me, and it really is. A lot of people don't like to be that accountable because for the longest we've seen in society where we've blamed mom, we've blamed dad, we've blamed whoever the caregiver was, but people didn't want to take responsibility for themselves. Even a good friend of mine, she and I had a little debate a few months ago about someone saying to her, "People make you who you are." And I said, that is absolutely incorrect. That is not what happened. People can only make you who you are if you let them. But
right.
It's always your choice. And I don't care how badly that person may have hurt you. The bottom line is, at some point in time, especially if you are in a relationship where there is offense and hurt that is being repeated, the first time you are a victim. After that, you become a volunteer.
All right. All right. I amen to that one. So now one thing you said very clearly, you have to know yourself, and that's very key because a lot of us don't have an idea of what we really are, and that's why even on this Reconnected show, I break the self down, different components, and it's real clear because if that image is not really clear of what you are and where you want to be, like say for instance, if you want to have the best relationship, since we're talking about that area, you want to have that, but your self image is one with poor relationships. You're not going because what happens is that your image is going to be where you are. You might say you want a good relationship. You might say, I feel I deserve a good relationship, but you see yourself as having a bad relationship, and that is what you're going to have. And in this in this business encounter, you see yourself having a business encounter there. You're going to have that. But if you I like to have a good business encounter, I like to have that. But your image is, I need a man, I need a woman right now. You follow me there?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And that happens many times. And like I was saying, getting confused about why someone is actually in your life. So even though – and they may actually be a person that has a very strong self-image, but maybe they have a very deep desire within themselves to be married. And what happens is it may start off as a business encounter, but boy, he looks much better than he sounded over the phone. You know,
right.
Things like that happen and they meet. And so now you're wondering, well, I wonder what this person is like outside of work. And that's where the danger begins. And I'm not saying that maybe that person isn't Mr. or Mr. Right for you, but be very careful and be clear. And make
right.
sure that you're very open about, you know, what it is you're feeling and what you're thinking with that individual. And if they, you know, and if they're not feeling the same way, then you need to make sure that you take it back down to the business relationship so that hopefully the business won't be affected by that.
Right, exactly. And ideally, you want to align your feeling, your belief about yourself with your image. And that's the whole point. Align those two, because all the time, I don't care what you're feeling, your image is going to dictate what you do.
Mm-hmm.
You see? And so this is why you got to align yourself. Now, look in the area. That was social. Now, you also have the area of spirituality there, too.
Yes.
And that's very important. Matter of fact, I'll be talking a lot about that, faith and spirituality. That's coming up on our list of topics there, too. But looking at that right now, self-image there, okay? Now, here you got, again, you got belief systems and how you see yourselves not aligning ourselves. So talk about that area and how sometimes misalignments can cause us to go astray.
Well, when I talk about spirit, I define us as being spirit, as being made in the image of our Creator and that of a spirit. And our spirit has a soul. That's our emotions, our thought patterns. All of that is how I relate to and define our soul. And a lot of times what happens is our soul, because we're constantly feeding the soul, that we don't get the opportunity to feed the spirit. So people can put things into your soul. People put thoughts and ideas into your head that unfortunately at times can be very negative. And when it's negative, that's when people begin to develop a negative self-image. However, when the person begins to build up their spirit and they're connecting with their creator, whether that be through prayer, meditation, however it is that you go inside and you connect, that's where they get their strength from. So they can look at themselves and say, well, you know what, I am more than just this shell of a body, but I am a person who was very beautifully and wonderfully made, and there's something that is unique and different and special about me, and I am special. And when they know that about themselves, that spirit will push it through to the soul, and once the soul begins to come into alignment and agreement with what your spirit is saying, now that person is able to walk with their head high, and they're able to carry out their divine assignment because they bought into it and because they understand it. So it doesn't matter what the world is saying. Oh, we're in, you know, this economic decline, and so no one should be starting a business. And they're saying, no, I know what's inside of me, and I'm not going to allow that to affect me and how I project myself and how I live my life, because they have that power.
And what you're saying is exactly what I was saying earlier, is that you have to align those two together. Now, a good example of the misalignment is someone who says verbally, they say, well, I'm divinely connected here. I love everybody, and I'm fair, and I have a business, and I treat everybody well, and I do all these kind of things and so forth. This is good, you know, but the image is one to get over on anybody when they can, a kind of a con artist kind of an image they have. In business, they tend to cheat people. They tend to not be as honest. They're not fair with their employees and so forth. But as soon as the spotlight comes on, they're Mr. Angel or Ms. Angel, and so they give off this idea of an image. It's not correct, but they wonder when the shop closes and they're home by themselves why they feel miserable. They don't know why, you know, they don't know why. So something's a little off there. The image is really not the one that they're purporting. So don't you feel that they have to really, well, you already said it, they have to decide for themselves, okay, what am I really? What am I really?
Exactly. And how do they find that out is partially through the responses of others. For example, I have decided to take a stand that I'm not wearing any more crosses or the little Jesus fish or anything like that. I'm not going to wear it. And the reason why I decided not to is because who I am will reflect in my character. So
all right.
There should be something unique and special about me that makes you just want to be in my presence. And if more people are running away from me than they are coming to me, then I know there's a problem. If I am constantly having people tell me how bitter I am or negative I am, then I know that I'm not loving and kind and gentle. Because the only people who can really attest to you being loving, kind, and gentle is other people. And now we're not even talking about somebody that's just negative, because we all know some people that may be just negative and it doesn't matter, you know, they'll look at God and say he's negative too. So that wouldn't matter.
Right, those people.
But we're talking about the people that you know that for the most part they're pretty positive people. What are they saying about you? How do those people feel about you? I just very recently, I want to say it was earlier in the week, was doing an exercise through a book I was reading, and one of the assignments was to ask some people you know to describe you, like in like three words, maybe words or phrases, and see what comes back. And I saw with some people there was a pattern. Where some people described me to be very empowering. Some people said very loving. And so I was looking for a pattern to see what do these people see when they see LaShawn. And that was my testament because, again, I didn't just ask one person. I asked different people, males and females, some people that have known me for longer than 10 years, some people that have known me less than a year. And what are they saying? And from that, I can bring them all together and say, okay, I'm doing a good job in the love department. I'm doing a good job in the compassion department. And that's how you do your checks and your balances. So for anyone who wants to know, where do you stand? If you're saying that you're one thing and you're something totally different, ask them. Ask the people around you, what is it that they see? And then you ask yourself, because a lot of times, one of the things I found out, Nazeem, is that sometimes people know. They're telling it to other people, but they know that they're not as good as they're claiming to be. Many times, so a lot of times, they don't have to really do it. But if you want more clarity, then you ask those questions, and then here's the follow-up to that. Once you get the answers, what are you going to do with that information?
Right.
If it's less than what you want it to be, if you don't get that wonderful A++ report, because, again, like you were saying earlier, somebody that says, oh, I'm such a great person, I love everybody. Well, do you really?
Right.
Everybody is everybody. Everybody is everybody. You'd be better off to say, I'm making an attempt to love everybody than to just say that you love everybody.
Right.
Because if I bring to you the gentleman who just shot up all those people in Arizona, are you still in love?
Yeah, right, exactly.
And that's where most people, there are so many people that are ready to hang him and do all types of things to him, but where's the love? Because you said you loved everybody. He's part of everybody.
No, that's right. It's probably better if someone to say, I'm willing to be open for the love of everybody.
Or at least I'm willing to think about it and get a little closer to it. Yes.
You see, yeah, you're right about that. Because when you're willing, that means you're open for possibilities and you know you have to improve. And so you want some help and you're open for possibility. And that's good. That's good. That's a good position for us to be in. Be willing for the possibilities. So you're open for any help, anything that might come in that might help you get to your next level, you know?
Right.
And that's wonderful. And that's important. Now, also, in addition to what you're saying, by reference to people really knowing the real deal, when you're home alone, it's just you and you. You might be in a nice hot shower or before you go to bed or sitting by yourself in front of the TV or just sitting there by yourself reflecting, it's you and you. And believe me, at that time, you know. That soul's going to tell you the real truth. The soul's going to say, you've been a fraud all day long. You cheated that old woman out of 5 cents at the counter that time. You know you did that. You're wrong for doing that, but you didn't say anything. Okay? You're wrong. You're saying that you love everybody. You're so sweet to the seniors. But you cheated her. It was only 5 cents, but believe me, I saw it, and you know it, and it's wrong. She didn't know it, but I saw it, and I'm telling you, you're not living up to your potential. You're a fraud.
And
you know?
But going a little further into that, and this is one of the things that whenever I'm coaching someone that I'm very careful about, and I'm going to take that last statement you made of calling them a fraud, being careful with not labeling people. Because, again, one of the things that I mentioned earlier is about meeting people where they are. Now,
oh, yes.
Even if that is what I'm thinking, boy, are you a shyster. Man, I can't believe you did that.
Right.
I'm not going to say that because, again, my whole purpose of what I'm doing is to get them to be whole. And you can't say that you're meeting people where they are if you get there and be like, boy, are you jacked up.
Yeah, right.
You know, what happened to you, man? You are really the horrible person. I've met some bad people before, but woo, you're the worst.
No, you take the cake.
You can't go there, but taking it from an attitude of this person needs help. And that's where the love in me, regardless of what this person has said, regardless of what they have done, I have to really pull from my inner strength and find a way to love that person and get them through. So then it would be, why did you do that to that woman? What
right.
was it that you were thinking when you decided to do whatever it is that they've done? And then once they begin to identify it, and again, that going to the root of the cause, because there's always a root to everything that we do. There's a reason why we do it. So once we can get to that root of it, now we can examine it and say, okay, is this the type of life that you want to live? And once they usually and hopefully say no, now we can say, okay, let me teach you how to become more intentional. And once you get that and you establish some foundations and some principles for your life, that's what's going to help you say, okay, I'm going to stop making those type of decisions. Because they have to actively think about it. But the problem is a lot of times people, they walk around like they're on automatic pilot, and they've been doing something for so long, it's within them. And the only thing that you can take out of a person is what's within them.
Okay.
You
want
to change what's coming out, then you change what's in it. You change
right.
what's going in, and you begin to evolve those things. And once you successfully do that, now we have a person who's working on becoming whole.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Yeah, you know, let's go to the area of environmental. Now, I'm curious about this area. Tell me about that area there.
When we talk about the environment, it is the litter, you know, the trash and recycling, and that's all a part of it as well. But also being concerned about our communities and the people who are in them. You know, it's not because it's not just your house. And many people, and it's unfortunate that many people don't know who their neighbors are. You know, what type of work do they do? What hours of the day are they typically gone? And that's something that was, you know, growing up, I remember having a lot of that, you know, and especially all the kids in the neighborhood. Everybody knew each other, even if they didn't like each other, even if they didn't play together, but they still knew each other, and they had an idea of where people lived. Well, now, with you know, in this modern day and age where everybody has video games and they text message all the time, you can ride down a street in the summer and there are children in every home, but you don't see any children playing outside on the streets. So what's going on in that home? Who knows? We have no idea because we're not really coming together. And so when we talk about being environmentally whole, that's the part where we're concerned about not, again, our home, but our neighbor's home as well, and we're protecting them, and we're doing whatever we can to be helpful and to assist other people.
So, okay, so then looking at self-image, how it relates here too, it seemed to me that it will be the same kind of situation if you see yourself as image as being one of being of service, of helping, and being responsible for others in your environment, other things in your environment. If that's your true self-image, then you're going to do that. But then if it's really not and you wonder why things aren't happening, then that's something you need to look at. So I guess, again, the question is, what is your real self-image in this area? You know, you're saying that you're, you know, into the green environment, you like to, you know, you're looking out for your neighbors and so on and so on. But you came home the other day and you saw your garage door of your neighbor open and you didn't go over there and investigate. So
right.
What's up with that?
Exactly. And it's just the little things. Now, I don't expect, you know, anyone to just know all of their business. And you don't necessarily need to be all in everything that they're doing, but enough to know when there's something wrong, when there's something that's a little different. So if you see those things and being able to identify so that we can, again, help those around us.
I see. So that's another area. And that's very important. Now, also, you mentioned physical. Yeah, physical. That was part of there. Now, this is a big one here. Please talk about this one. It's obvious, but I'm Gibbsy. Talk about this one, please.
You're right. This is huge, especially when it comes to self-image. And this deals with your ability to acquire and maintain a healthy lifestyle. So you're going to avoid harmful substances, the drugs, the alcohol, the tobacco, anything that's going to be harmful to your body. And also when it comes to this, and self-image really plays a lot more into this dimension than people realize. When there is someone, and I'm also a certified personal trainer, and when there is someone who has their weight is going up and down, and it seems like no matter what they do, they lose a few pounds, but they always gain it back. That is because they haven't gotten to the root of why they're gaining weight in the first place. A lot of people's weight gain is due to some type of trauma from their past, whether it be sexual abuse, physical abuse, abandonment. I mean, there are many, many. I mean, the list can go on and on of different type of emotional issues that people have gone through. And because they never really recovered, food kind of became their aid, their crutch. And they're not dealing with that. And until they begin to go back and deal with the past, they will never be physically whole.
Okay, now, talk about that a little more here. Now, you, there are a lot of things. Let's pick one area. Let's pick eating. Okay, eating. All right, eating. And someone, they really say, I know you've heard this a lot, especially in your business there too. Someone says, you know, say let's pick a woman. Okay, you know, I really love my old 8-size dress. I love that dress. I used to fit in that dress. I used to dance. I used to party. I used to, I had this boyfriend, and I remember that dress reminds me of all those good times, you know. And here now I got this size 18 over here I'm wearing, and I'm just miserable. I can't stand myself. Every time I think about the size I'm in, I'm in right now, I want to eat some more. You know, I mean, what do I do about that? You know, I see myself in size eight dress, but every time I look in the mirror, I want to get another chicken leg.
Right. Well, and that comes from, it's going to depend on how they answer this question, which is, why are you overweight? Why? What happened that you went from a size 8 to an 18? And you even threw a little scenario in there where you said, well, they remember going out and partying in that size 8 dress. And even the person that she was dating at that time, well, let's say that that night he met another woman and he dumped her for this woman. And that is what started her overeating. And she just allowed it to get, you know, way, you know, to just out of proportion. And so she's depressed because of it. And every time she thinks of it, she eats. And now all men are dogs. So she's going to eat again. Then she turns on the television. Big mistake. Because there really aren't any great images of men on television. So now she's eating, and she's constantly feeding that pain. And before long, she'll get over him, but she never really dealt with the issue, so she continues to eat. Now, if that's the problem, then that's going to be a little bit more difficult of a situation to walk her through. So it would just depend on the person and, again, walking her through those steps. Now, let's just say that that same woman, if she just decided that, well, for whatever reason, she just got lazy, and she just decided that she wanted to eat, and she realized that the metabolism that she had 10 years ago is not the metabolism that she has today.
Right.
Go down as we get older.
Oh, yes.
So if that's something that maybe for her it just isn't. She may say, LaShawn, you know what, I just love to eat. I love to eat, and I love to watch TV, and here's the other thing, I don't want to work out.
Ooh.
That could be a possibility, too. And some people have to deal with that. And for a lot of people, it has to become painful before they will make a change. Some people have to go to the beach and put on a swimsuit and realize that they're the biggest person on the beach before they say, okay, enough is enough. Some people have to get up and chase around a small child, and then they get out of breath so quickly before it stops them in their tracks, and they say, enough is enough. Some people need to go to a doctor, and one of the saddest things that happened was many years ago, I met a woman, and she was in her early 20s, and she weighed over 300 pounds. Her doctor gave her an option. He said, you either go to a gym, you get a trainer, and you get this weight off, or you go buy your parents a black suit and a black dress for your funeral.
Mm.
This woman also happened to be a chain smoker. So on top of all the food and chain smoking and everything else, this woman, you know, she needed to lose this weight. And I didn't know the things now that I knew then. And it was very, very sad for me because she came in. I convinced her to sign up. She signed up. It was great. She wasn't out of the door for 10 or 15 minutes before she called me and said, I can't do it. Not she didn't want to. She said, I can't do this. And she was crying. And I had to calm her down over the phone just to get her to come back in. And she canceled.
Really?
And that bothered me. That really, really bothered me. And that's why now when I hear, because I now that I'm in this new enlightened space, it makes me stop and I think a lot more. So when people say, oh, everybody is overweight because they just need to stop eating, no, a lot of times it's much, much more than that.
Now, see, right there, LaShawn, I go back to our theme again. What is her real self-image? Now, looking at the gal who is first scenario, size 8, now size 18, apparently her self-image is one of a person who is a failure, who just can't get what they want and is not deserving of that boy, I guess, when she was size 8, not deserving. So then her whole self-confidence, everything is down. So her picture of herself is one who is overweight, as a failure. That's her self-image. And until she sees herself, actually claims, internalizes a different image, she'll never be that image again. Now, the one you're talking about, her
right,
present self-image
right.
was not one of being a winner. Right?
And it's the winner, it's kind of like it's there, but it's buried.
Mm-hmm.
And it needs to be dug up because it is possible. And
right.
it's just going to take that person to get to that level where they know that they can be more. And so that's something that even though what they look like on the outside doesn't represent them more, they know that they can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And they will. And I see it all the time. I see it all the time. There are some people that come in and they're really gung-ho and they make sure that they get that weight off. And then there are other people, they just really don't want to do what it takes in order to make that happen. And, again, that's mm-hmm. going to depend on, again, why they gained the weight in the first place.
And it's real important, I feel, that that person has to have a new self-image. And that's where I even talk about in my book. See, we have to be the right painters of our life. You got to put the right image on that canvas. And so I would ask her, what is the image that you really see yourself as being? And she says, well, you know, this size 8, as a draw it on a canvas. And she might draw something of size 8. Okay, now, do you like this image? Yeah, I liked it. No. Do you love this image? Is this really you? Well, it's not me right now. Okay, that's good. Now, how can we get, if you want this image, you got to internalize that image. So how do we do that? And so it's real important, in order for them to go on the next level, they have to internalize a new self-image for themselves. If it's one of being a winner, one of being a 3 or 4 sizes smaller,
mm-hmm.
you claim that, and then you do everything possible to mold yourself to that image. You see that?
That's right, yes. And also adding to what you just said, the self-determination has to really be there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's something that, you know, that kind of goes hand in hand with that because there are many people who have very big dreams but they never come to pass. Why? Because they don't have the determination and the commitment to actually get there, to that size 8 dress as you've been talking about, to
mm-hmm.
get back to that because it is a journey and it is a road and people have to be willing to pay the price to get back there.
Exactly. Tell you what, LaShawn, we're going to close the program now. It's been a fantastic journey. And I'm sure that we have one person on the switchboard now, actually from your area, who's just listening. And I look at this similar area code there. And we have many people online, and then a lot of people listen after the show. And so right now, before we close, I want people to find out how they can get in touch with you. Can I talk about your website and how they can actually talk to you about some sessions they can have with you personally?
Yes. If you'd like to contact me, go to my website. That's LashawnMcQuarrie.com, L-A-S as in Sam, H-A-W, N as in Nancy, M as in Mary, C-C-R-A-R-Y.com. And if you're on Blog Talk Radio, I am there on Intentional Life. My radio program airs every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Time. And you can send me something in my inbox there as well.
Mm-hmm. Again, your actual the Blog Talk address is again?
It's blogtalkradio.com/intentional_life.
There you go. There you go. And one thing, Sean, if I can ask you, if you can go on my show page and on the right side, on the general comments, if you can put your information there too, because I want to be known as a clearinghouse, my show page, so people can go there anytime and get information on all my guests. They can get their books. They can go to their website. They can get information there, and they can get help. I want people to get the help from anywhere I can get them to. I want them to have it. So if I can direct people to you and they get help, I feel better. And so I want people to go to my show page and get all the help they need to have from all my wonderful professionals that come on. So if you can go to my show page and on the right side, the general comment side, put your information there, that would be wonderful. How's that sound?
Okay. Wonderful. Absolutely
and
wonderful.
Fantastic. And so I'll tell you what, I'm going to invite everybody to come in again next week. We're going to start another series on communication and listening skills. Now, that is a key because this, even in Sean's work there, if a person has a real poor listening skill, no matter what she tells them, if they can't hear, it's not going to make any difference. They got to be able to allow the words to come in.
Mm-hmm.
You see, if you start talking about how your life was yesterday at the gym, you know, how'd you do? Did you work out? And they say, what are you talking about? You know, you know, they're not listening. They're not connected with you. They're someplace
right.
Or they might be ignoring you. So we got to talk about listening skills and communication skills so we can be connected. And that's the only way you can get the message in there is for you to hear what the other person is saying. You know, you got to do that. It's real important.
Absolutely.
All right. So I thank you, Lashawn, for coming. And I'm looking forward to next time. And please, I'm going to call upon you again. We've got a lot more
okay.
topics to come. Is that okay?
Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. I'll see you all next week. Thank you again.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. In your day, or to start your day.